In the first half, I'll go over a big night of comedy superstars and that experience at the Improv. Also, we'll get to our poll. It is our, the one we started before, and now we're going to finish it off with that. Oh, we'll do Rotten Tomatoes as well right after this.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got Nude Mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mails box. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Michael Rapaport. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the man with the Rapaport rapport, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Trisha, get on. Mandy, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian. Come on, let's fuck our friend's husband. Wow, a big night of comedy last night at the Hollywood Improv.
Tell us everything.
Everyone was real funny. I think it's definitely, you know, I guess we could take comedians and break them into probably one of two categories. Some comedians.
Funny?
Yeah. Well.
That's all that matters.
I noticed it when I do morning radio, and sometimes we'd have a black comedian in who didn't listen to classic rock or whatever. He listened to another radio station, and I feel like he didn't feel like this audience was his audience. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his friends listening. Sort of how people do when they do an Australian talk show. And so some people have comedians, performers, have a sort of mentality of like, if I don't really need it or no one I know is listening or, you know, the room is half full, you know, why really burn those calories? I don't know that it's a conscious decision.
They haven't made the John Force turn from who the fuck is this guy and why am I doing this to, hey, you're a funny shit.
Yeah, John Force.
It really illustrated very well in that one exchange.
Yeah.
Like he didn't give a shit about any show until he got here.
Right. And so
that was pretty funny.
Then there are guys like, you know, Seinfeld and Leno, and they just show up and they have one mode.
Yeah, it's they do their show.
Professional mode. And then others are like, yeah, the place is half full. None of the other comics on the bill I've heard of. You know, like, what am I out here peddling this unicycle for? But, of course, last night was a full house. And, you know, you're going on between Leno and Fluffy. You gotta bring it, man. And so everyone brought it, which is kind of a sign of a very seasoned professional, because when amateurs attempt to bring it either through comedy or sexually, it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like they try harder and it ends up not working. When guys are really seasoned try harder, they just fall back on this wealth of experience, you know. So Leno went up first, which was not the plan, but Rob Schneider was getting high with Bill Maher and
still
running a little bit late. So Leno, I just saw him. He's such the on brand, pulled up in a big old classic Indian motorcycle, just Indians of make.
Mm-hmm. Didn't you do a documentary about that? Or Chassis asked something about that, right?
We, oh God, yes, yes, we did. Yeah. We did. Thank you. He comes pulling up on the big old Indian bike, just parks it right in the thing, gets off it, and essentially just walks out on stage. Nails it.
Full denim? You know, he's on a bike.
No, when he performs, he wears like a blazer and slacks.
And rode his bike?
A denim blazer.
Wears a suit. He wears a suit when he performs.
Power move.
Doesn't do his hair, but he wears his suit. Puts on the leather jacket and the helmet and just rides over from the shop, comes rolling in.
I like it.
Does his thing. You know, everyone thanked him and I talked to him in the hall for a minute and he rolled right out.
Like Batman.
Well, his thing is always like, he'll do anything, but he's always like, yeah, I'm going to get up there. And I'm like, yeah, just go up and do it.
That's a question that I have. And I don't want this to come off as snide or insulting. Why does Leno do it? At this point, he's so rich. He must be getting a few $100s.
He must love it. Yeah. Ask the Comedy and Magic Club.
I know your friend. Is it a favor to you? Is that explicit? Or is it just loves the game? You would show up to a pickup game if he was retired from the NBA and for 10 years.
Most the I'd say the comedians that were there, but I think it's a combination. I think Jay does comedy for the sake of comedy. He also realizes, like the athlete that you'd mentioned, you know, you never really officially retire from doing stand-up. You get retired. Sure. You get retired. Some people get retired in their 40s, their 50s. You know, he's 70, 71. He doesn't want to get retired, so he has to go scrimmage all the time. He has to stay in shape all the time. So I think there's a... He does it. He loves it. He's also very – he's always had his head in the right place with it, which is he goes, man, just go up there. You know, I tell jokes. I go home. I say, he understates everything, which is – if you think about it, think about how ineffective people are who overstate, you know, like, oh, I'm overwhelmed. First, the kids want to ride to the corner, and now the Grubhub guy's late. Like, oh, what a day. You know, the people.
It's only noon.
Yes. The people that get a lot more done in life tend to just like, we just do it. It's not no big deal.
There was a study done years ago. People with pessimistic attitudes actually get more done because they're, I guess the attitude is like, oh, this is so much to do here. How can one guy do it? Oh, well, might as well dig in.
Oh, pessimistic attitude.
You think optimistic.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a better life. It was just they got more done.
Well, Jay's an optimist, as far as I can tell, who just shows up. Now, he showed up for me. I don't know, you know, how many others could call him and get him just to come on out. But he also works out, and that's what he does. So he just showed up, nailed it. And then, let's see, there's a picture of Jay up on stage wearing a suit. Mm-hmm. And he likes it, too. Like, he likes the crowd. He likes the applause. It's not gotten old to him.
Did you have fun with it and say, here's your opener, Jay Leno.
Jay Leno. Yeah, well, again, Rob is going to start. But anyway. Then also Jay Moore. I thought Jay may have stolen the show. He was.
That surprises me not at all. Can I tell you how many times I've listened back to his appearance the other day?
Yeah.
He's still a truly funny,
talented guy. So he brought it. He was super funny. Rob Schneider was super funny. Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias brought it, and then I just closed it out. But
And Sarah Silverman, right?
Oh, shit.
And Patton Oswalt?
Patton could not make it. We knew a few days ahead of time, and Sarah Silverman went up there and nailed it, too.
Chris posted a picture of her, like, laying on the piano. It was very...
Yes, yes.
Very funny.
Very...
Like a Fabulous Bigger Boy situation?
No, yeah. Kinda. Yeah.
She was fantastic. Everyone was really good. The audience hung in the entire time. I think they knew what they were getting. And it'll be one of those things where if you're 25 in the audience, you'll tell those stories 40 years from now when we're all dead that hey, I went out on a Wednesday night and guess who was there? You know, Jay Leno, you know, Jay would have died in a steam car accident 5 years earlier.
You mean in 1905? That's right.
But it was a great night, and the audience hung in, and we went long. I mean, we started right at 8, and I was on stage at, I don't know, 10:15 or something. We're supposed to cut it a little earlier, but everyone was sweet. Everyone supported each other.
Going to do it again?
Yeah. It was a treat for me because normally you get in, you do your set, then you sort of get out. I, just by virtue of the fact that I put it on, was sort of – forced to hang and watch everybody, yeah. And you get to see, you know, when you see Rob Schneider and you see Gabe Iglesias and Sarah Silverman, you see these totally, and Jay Leno, you see these totally different approaches to comedy, all ending up in the same place, all with laughing. Big laughs, yeah. But just totally different postures and approaches and so takes cool. on things. And it was really interesting. And it was like watching... It's like watching an MMA event where this guy was a boxer, he's a striker, and that guy's a college wrestler, and this guy's a judo guy, you know, and this guy's a grappler, like all your different
style.
Techniques and styles up on stage.
But at the end of the day, it is so goddamn refreshing to not have this be like a night of stars to fund the DNC. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just comedy for the sake of comedy, people coming at it from politics. Maybe we talk about it, maybe we don't, but everybody's here to laugh.
Yeah, and the audience laughed. You know, Sarah is very progressive and hit some abortion stuff and then got big laughs. Rob Schneider approached it from
a different view,
a different point of view, and got big laughs. Like, everyone was just there. It was a real example of how life, comedy, relationships are supposed to work. Everyone just showed up, laughed, and everyone.
The life can be once again. If we allow it.
But Fluffy was doing his thing, and Jay was talking about being in rehab. Jay Moore, that is.
Sorry. Do tell.
Moore was being in, and Jay Leno was just telling jokes, you know.
About Jay Moore being in rehab?
Yeah, and it was just...
really fucked up his act.
Everyone laughed. I didn't know, like, well, these people all here to see Fluffy, and then are they not going to be laughing at Sarah Silverman? Are they here for Sarah Silverman and not going to laugh at Fluffy? They all just laughed equally.
You know, it's a good example of we literally are in a studio every day just talking to each other and thinking about ideas and stuff and hashing them out together. And to get a real world example of, no, people mainly just want to laugh together.
Yeah.
Didn't that feel... confirm your, you know, hopes.
I couldn't even tell. Chris, could you tell if the audience leaned any direction? I mean, they were laughing at some conservative shit I said they were laughing hard at. They were laughing hard at Sarah and sort of pro-abortion stuff.
I couldn't tell. And that's kind of what made it so magical. Yeah. Like, it was just as Adam said, Sarah went up second and did her thing. And then Rob went up fourth. And then started digging in. Now, he went in a direction. I didn't think he was going to go for it, but he started going, you know, talking about the mask stuff and leaving California, and got huge laughs there too. So it was. I think that's what made the night so special. Was just there, you couldn't tell. It was just all it was about was just the comedy.
Why did Chris get to go?
Yeah,
I snuck in.
He hung. He first off, he doesn't take up as much space.
Like Bugs Bunny.
It does look like he took those pictures from the scaffolding.
He was up in the green room up top, the crow's nest. Sarah got there, and her and I had a chance to hang back and get caught up while Leno was up on stage, and she showed me a picture. I don't know why we were talking about the kids or something. I was telling her about a story or something, and then she goes, oh, the kids. And she showed me, I don't know, her phone. What was it? It's
like the icon you get when you call somebody.
Oh, wow, the profile picture or whatever.
The avatar or whatever.
Yeah.
It's her crying with a baby crying.
That's Sunny.
What?
Oh, that's Santino?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
That's very funny.
She was holding Sunny when Sunny was one.
Wait, that's on her phone?
That's on her phone.
Oh, my God. That's great.
It's a great picture of Sonny making this grimacing, you know, I don't know what
he's
he is.
Mid-cry. Help me face.
He's one and a half. Like, and,
oh,
of course, Sarah makes
God.
The exact same face. And then I looked at it, made me laugh. I immediately sent it to Sonny from the green room.
Didn't move the needle.
Don't say who's she, please.
Sonny was like, is that me? He didn't know it was him.
He recognized Sarah.
Yeah.
He's in a comedy.
Yeah. It's a crazy. Wow. It's a funny, funny picture.
Did
anyway.
She say anything? You know, she has a full fucking musical being staged. Her book is a musical, Bedwetter, the musical.
Oh,
in
no.
New York.
No.
She's like, she's amazing to me. I love her dearly.
Yeah.
You know, people come up to us and say, like, I feel like I know you. I feel that way with her. I've never met her. I feel like I know her. Like, she's just so iconic to me. And she has a fucking Broadway musical in the works.
When's it coming out?
I don't know. I will find. I know it's just been cast, and I know they're in rehearsal. I've been kind of following along. And it's her story. It's called
David
Bedwetter.
David Alan Greer as Sarah Silverman.
Right.
Wow.
And there's girls playing her at different stages. Like, there's a little girl, there's a teenager, there's an adult.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we're both bedwetters, so we got
well,
that.
Well, you should go to the show.
We got that in common, and we'll figure out when that's coming out. Yeah. She was a delight. She's hung. We got to hang for about a half hour.
She introduced Adam to the guy who started the roast battles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Adam's like, oh, so you're a chef.
And I said all night, you do the cooking show, right?
Yeah.
Roast battles, obviously.
Pub roast. Yeah.
Roast wars.
I love those competition cooking shows. And all night, I just kept with him. And Sarah was getting disgusted after I was getting tired of it. And I was like, what, in your opinion, you're an expert, a purple beet or a golden beet, which one is better? Because to me, they taste the same. And Sarah was like, oh, we get it. We get it. But he was having fun with it, right?
We all were laughing.
He started roast battles, which would make a decent show on the cooking network.
Sure.
So it was a good night.
Out comes a pork loin.
Everyone was
chicken.
Everyone was fun and funny, and the audience hung in. And I thought by the time I got out there, we're 2 hours in. I was like, all right, well, all the good people have gone. They're going to be ready to go, but they hung in. They hung with me, and they laughed, and they had a good time. We're going to do another one September 7th, so I'll...
Ryan, put it on your calendar. See, I can bump this
Can't time. Wait to not get there.
See who I can drum up for this thing. All right. We also have a staff poll.
Oh, we need Brian.
We need Brian.
I know nothing of this. I'll come into a clean.
Right. All right. So here's the question that was posed. A man that started off as a biological man who has surgically transitioned.
Okay. Made the commitment.
Made the commitment and is now a woman. And we've seen many examples of very beautiful women who started off as men, but got the surgery and they got everything. So
the Brazilians got it down.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you picture a 10 in that department, the best example of the transition male to female. That person, now you go to the other side of the ledger to the biological woman.
Okay.
Now, if you asked most guys, if you asked all guys, really, honestly, statistically, would you rather have the 10 biological born a 10 Gisele Bündchen or the Brazilian who switched over?
You're saying biblically.
Yeah. Biblically have sex with. I'll take the one who was born a woman.
Stick with what you know.
Okay. Now the question is then how far down in numbers do you go before you slide over to the 10 who was a dude?
But a 10.
But a 10.
9.
Really?
No.
I would love that.
That's a quandary. Fuck. I think you're below the Mendoza line at 5, and you got to start considering.
You got to start thinking at 5. All right. Yeah. We did a staff poll. A lot of variation in that poll. I don't know why. I always look forward to Dawson's answers to best, because he likes to work variables in. Like, can I be eating?
Yeah. I was going to say, if I somehow don't know that the 10 was a man, I'll always just be in.
You will know. Okay. You will know, but no one else. It will not be held against you from a societal standpoint.
You and your God.
All right.
Okay. All right. What do we got? Just a reminder, I was like a 3 or I was a 4. I'll just say 4.
Chris is very enlightened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah. Okay. Vito is a 5.
Okay.
Okay.
Emmy is a 5. And this took him a while because he says uglier girls F better.
It's good.
Not hear that again.
He should do greeting cards. Yeah.
Let's see. Gary is a he says he will never switch.
Oh God.
Never.
Oh,
come on.
But never.
Where's your sense of adventure, boy?
Never switching means I broke down my League of Skanks.
Oh, good, because we needed a League of Skanks.
Legion.
Legion, I'm sorry, oh. Of Skanks. We were trying to work out, like, well, who is a 1 and
yeah,
who is a
right.
10? And
we needed to know.
Gal Gadot at 10. But Honey Boo Boo's mom is the 1.
Oh, what's her name? Thumbkin or?
I don't
Mama
know.
June.
Mama June.
Gary, oh, wow. You got to have sex with Mama June.
This is a terrible list to have her at number 1, in my opinion, because she's gotten gastric bypass and isn't attractive, but she is way better than me having to sleep with somebody who was formerly a man. And
Gary.
I'm coming at this from a practical point of view,
mm-hmm.
where I don't want to deal with the other ramifications that come with the person who has made the decision to make such
like
a drastic
what?
Change.
Oh, you know, you don't want to deal with. What if you like it just a little bit
yeah,
too much?
Yeah, that's right.
That too.
And
that's
then you
right.
get
yeah.
fucking hooked.
That's right.
Yes, and.
And you know, my husband won't use my bidet because he's worried that it's going to be, quote, too delightful.
Yes. Like they say in those 70s movies, you know, once the bear gets the taste
red
for human blood,
right. yeah.
he can no longer forage for berries.
Keep me satiated.
I don't mean to name call, but Gary, your Orange County is showing.
Have we? Oh, wow, that's hurtful. Have we gone
all right, well, let's
thank you.
We got Rosie O'Donnell as a 2. We're trying to establish what a 10 is, what a 5 is, what a 2 is.
I missed yesterday's show. Has this list been established?
No.
Okay, so
brand new.
You got it on the list.
It's brand new, and it adulterates the experiment a little bit because
like the specifics of number 7.
Number 7 is Lisa Kudrow, season 1 of Friends. But I have, and below her is Kat Denning, who's a 6, but I happen to like Kat Denning more.
Yeah, you think she's super attractive.
But I do. I couldn't convince
most
kangaroo court.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is 4 guys figuring
four
this
guys
out.
4 guys yelling at me.
I see. Okay.
Honestly, Kat Denning put a couple of pounds on and maybe wasn't what she was in the 40-year-old virgin. But
looking at this list, I'm tossing the coin at number 3.
You're going with number 3,
no,
Lisa?
No, 3 is like where I'm like, all right, now we're dealing with, you know, one of the other.
Well, let's go through the list for people that
go
aren't
ahead.
Here. So number 1, Honey Boo Boo's mom.
Well, yes, A1.
Who is A1.
Who is A1. Number 2, Rosie O'Donnell.
Stop saying number.
3, okay. Lizzo.
Is a 3.
Juliette
three.
Lewis now. Jesus Christ.
I'm all right with that.
Is a 4.
I'm all right with that.
Rosie Perez now.
Fuck yeah.
Kat Denning, Lisa Kudrow, season 1 Friends is a 7. Halsey is an 8. Megan Fox is a 9. Who could be better than Megan Fox? Gal Gadot is a 10.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. So
3 is where I really have to make some decisions, not just about myself, but how I feel about the world.
I'd probably looking at this list,
because I like
who you
were yesterday.
I might stop at Kat Denning.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when we initially did this, Brian, he said below 7.
Oh.
You start considering your options. And I like that.
Yeah, but below 7 could still mean 4. I have to think about it.
Some
I don't know why
marvelous.
You're so invested on me banging trannies, but all right. Everyone's got to have a dream. I'd like to see my children educated. But all right. You got your own motivation.
I do.
I want to hear the rest of the scores.
Yes, yeah. Me too.
Well, the only one left is Dawson. Oh, no, there's 2. Dawson is a never switcher.
Okay. I knew it.
Really?
Even Rosie?
I do have some questions.
He's a never switcher.
Now, is there contact?
Well,
with the male parts?
There's no male parts.
This is a fully surgically
fully transitioned.
Done.
Okay.
This is a baked
See, that changes
cake.
Everything.
I knew this was...
This is a baked cake.
That's why I was so surprised that he was in...
That's just why I weighed on Dawson.
That really does change
Yeah,
things.
Yeah. Not having an 8-inch throbbing hog going up your
exactly.
ass while she wears
exactly.
a tiara.
I thought it was just
yeah,
a masterful
right.
tuck job.
That would modify the list a little yeah. bit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to have to switch
up. Like a hot load blown into your beard when you're done. Like, yeah, that would affect one's decision making.
Right.
Yeah, so now that you have all the info.
Yeah. I think that the placement of Juliette Lewis at a 4
okay.
is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go ahead and mosey on over to Juliette Lewis's bed and run away from Lizzo.
At three.
That's where I am.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, go ahead.
We have a new guy. There's Ben score.
Ben score last. Ben is a 9.
Oh, Ben! Hats off.
Wow.
Hats
adventurous.
Off.
So that means, Ben, that you would rather bang a he, she, then Halsey, right?
It's a 10% difference.
10%
He's absolutely
difference.
Right. He's thinking of this from a mathematical point of view.
Mm, yeah. I feel like I'd be all over the Halsey bang versus the
hot.
He, she bang, but okay.
But for the rest of us, go
you're
ahead.
A homo.
I like that Ben's approach to this is the one they did in Moneyball.
This is Halsey. Her flaw.
There's a famous Office episode where the whole staff is split 50-50 on whether Hillary Swank is hot or not. And the whole episode's devoted to it. And finally, Mindy Kaling is making the case for she is hot. Mm-hmm. And this is basically me right now. She's saying, Hillary Swank is a gorgeous, statuesque movie star. And if you don't think she's hot, then what chance do we, the rest of us, have?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm pretty sure Juliette Lewis now is more bangable than I am. I'm fishing.
No, I would definitely bend you. Make sweet love.
Sweet love
to you.
Would you make sweet love to me over Rosie Perez now?
No.
Well, are we? Remember, we're going to put this in a vacuum. There's going to be no name dropping.
What do you mean?
I can't brag to people that I banged Rosie Perez.
Right. I'm just trying to make myself.
Which I feel is believable.
Tough but fair, man. Tough but fair.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to ask about Kat Denning or Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah,
I just want to. That's what I'm
saying.
You're
not going to like. Well, no. Leo, season one. I knew Lisa Kudrow when she was a groundling and had black hair and like looked.
I can't picture that.
Different and maybe a boob job and stuff. No. My friend dated her and she was a very different. She was. She looked like she was in the tribe.
When she went to Vassar, like
she,
all-girls school.
I don't know. I don't. You know, the
is
hair,
she Jewish?
The hair was dark. The nose could have been different, and the boobs could have been different. And so she's kind of transformed herself.
Okay.
I think.
If you scroll up a little bit, guys, we'll see that Gina Grad's at 11.
Thank you, because that's what I'm saying. Like, if everyone's like, "Oh, fuck that," well, what about the rest of us?
Yeah, I know. It's an uncomfortable yet very important list that we've assembled here.
Lisa Kudrow is Jewish.
Yeah, she became very un-Jewish.
Shiksa-esque.
I knew her as a dark-haired, hip, sort of hippie, had some, you know, had an ass on a caboose on her, Jewish chick when I knew her from the Groundlings, and then she transformed herself
into
a tall blonde.
Jewish.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yes.
All right. So
Jewish.
Everyone's
yes.
pretty much at the middle out of 5 overall.
Yeah, we're going to have
to. We'll see in this list.
We're also going to have to reconvene on the gangbang story, which is the would you do the 10 versus what is it, the combined, oh no, sorry,
threesome.
Yeah, do you take the 8 versus we'll give you to 11 for the combined score in the threesome department,
right? So you do you take an 8 or do you take a 5 and a 6?
You can be you can be alone with Halsey,
right?
Or you could take Gal Gadot and Honey Boo Boo's mom, or any variation that added up to 11.
Interesting.
To figure that one out. Because the plan is it'd be great to bang Megan Fox, but with Rosie O'Donnell, you'd have to give her equal time.
Right.
She'd be in the room.
She just hold the camera.
And she's so chatty.
Yeah.
You know, she'd probably be talking.
Just throw koosh balls at you.
Yeah, koosh balls, talking about how she wishes you were Tom Cruise. So we gotta reconvene on that one, Chris, because that's another very important question.
This list seems very well thought out.
This list was painstaking. It took all of an hour to compile this list with the people filibustering
with their note
and
cards
arguing,
and thumbtacks and yarn.
Yes, I you know
I was getting yelled at for bringing up, 70 sitcom stars. Then there was the then versus now.
Uh-huh.
I do appreciate the timeliness of this list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very specific.
All right. Let's see. We got Rotten Tomatoes to play. We can also have people. Oh, is that Halsey? What is that?
This
Lizzo?
Is our 8 and our 3. This is Lizzo oh my God. And Halsey together.
That's your 11.
Wow.
And please, if you're going to tweet your score, don't at any of these people. They don't need to know what you think.
I could.
Hey, listen.
I could put this. I think I could pair this.
Yeah.
Tasting up.
Lizzo is. I know you have thoughts, but she's a pretty girl.
Yeah.
She's a pretty girl.
Can she play the flute while I'm fucking Halsey?
Oh, probably.
Or is that just, we're just adding on too many extras here?
So you're trading in the skin flute for the actual flute.
Yes. All right. Let's see. We got Ben. Ben, we got Ben's score, right? Ben's
yeah.
10%.
I love him.
So just a reminder. So Emmy and Vito are 5. Chris is 4. Dawson and Gary are never switchers.
Not now. Oh. Now he's a 9.
Oh, yeah. And then Ben.
Wait, Dawson's a switcher now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, this is the original paper.
Yeah. Brian's a what?
In a vacuum, I guessed 5, but then when I saw your perfectly curated list,
yes.
I thought 3 was where the coin gets tossed.
All right.
And the salad.
All right. Gina, Lesbo action?
I'd go to a 2.
You'd go down to 2?
Yeah.
Wait, you'd go that?
Before I
She cut it off at Lizzo.
Yeah, I would do Lizzo.
Okay, but what about the beautiful he/she who's a she? Like, who cares?
No, that's absolutely true. Well, wait.
We're
so
not
I,
on the combined score anymore. We're just on
I
the
understand.
Switch. Part.
But I'm saying I like the point is you guys are all freaked out about the
yeah.
tranny, and
yeah.
so if I'm looking at it from your through your eyes, I would fuck Lizzo because I like Lizzo.
Right, but through your eyes is
I'd
the
take
answer.
Them all.
You can't. It's not an answer. You'd go.
I mean, applauding.
You'd go with the former he.
Yeah,
right?
Well, but that's in my eyes. For me, there's no difference.
What? This is subjective.
That's why I'm putting myself in your through your
no,
eyes.
No, I'm just asking. You have a lesbian experience.
Okay.
It doesn't make a difference whether the
I
person
see.
Started as a guy or started as a girl. You just go for the 10.
Okay.
Who
I get
was
it.
A he?
You're right. I would.
But let me ask you this.
I'm changing my answer.
Okay.
We go down to Kat Denning and then we move on.
Okay.
Then we switch over.
Oh, then we switch.
Yeah.
You switch, you like Kat as
yeah.
well. Okay.
So we switch at a 5.
What if you switched and you were with the former he that had become a she,
mm-hmm.
the beautiful 10 she? And obviously, it's not going to be part of my encounter, but you're going to need to go down on her because. Not a lot left to do for the ladies. What if her surgically reconstructed vagine was better than yours? That'd be a lot of heartbreak.
That's look in the mirror time.
That's
yeah,
true.
That's gut check, question God kind of stuff.
I get it, but when you're under the knife, I mean, just look at this rack.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's great because
uh-huh.
I paid for it. So I get
but
it.
But your rack started off as a larger rack. And now it's a luggage rack, but it used to be a kayak
it's a
rack.
Lumber rack.
Yeah, it was a lumber rack, and now it's a luggage rack, but it started life as a rack. He started life with a cock and balls.
No, you're right. I mean,
that
yeah.
That could be heartbreaking.
No, you're right. I'd probably, you know what? I'd probably be self-conscious.
That's what
I'm
saying.
I would be self-conscious. You're mm-hmm. right.
I'm changing my answer, too. Okay, I'm going to include Lizzo in my group of yes, I would, because
yeah.
she's new on the scene relatively. She's going to be famous for years. Do you know how many times I'd be sitting on the couch with Tessa? Lizzo comes on TV, some award show, and look over at Tessa and go, fucked her.
Yeah, but again, that's not
you
part
can't.
Of the equation.
Why? Oh, because I can't talk about it?
Yeah,
oh,
it didn't
on.
Happen. It's just this one encounter. Otherwise, it's going to be too much because, oh, season reruns of Friends with
right.
my kids. Hey, I pounded Phoebe, you know?
These are just representations of the number. You're not actually going for these people.
You want to watch Wonder Woman again, Tessa?
Because I don't know when we're ever going to circle back to the hypotheticals. Can we please go back to the classic one before I move on about the coworker?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I explained this correctly. But there's a coworker that you are not into. They are not attractive. You do not want to fuck them. Everybody thinks you fucked them, and you will never convince them you didn't. Or you secretly do have to fuck them, but no one will ever know.
Yes.
I think that's my favorite hypothetical of all time.
And again, the ultimate tip of the cap, at some point, the person will waffle. So women start off a little sanctimonious. They go, I'll know.
Right.
And I don't care what other people think. And I go, how about the Christmas party? How about the Christmas party where you're there and you're surrounded by people that are drinking and laughing and whatever? And they go, and now again, they go, can I drink? And then I switch them back.
Yeah.
Because
that's the tell.
You can booze.
Mm-hmm. See, I personally think it's an easy answer.
Mm.
I think we're talking about coworkers. We're talking about social gatherings. Like you said, you fuck them and you, it's your little secret. Well, you move on with
well,
your life.
Good news, Chris.
I agree. Yeah. And I would be interested in this because as our societal casualness about sexual encounters, especially with women, I mean, it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. She was a trollop, yeah. You know.
Scarlet letter.
Scarlet letter, you know. Now, like, women openly go, you know, I had an abortion, I was with this guy, you know, fuck this dude, I met at a party, like, whatever it is. The social stigma has gone away. Then there is the social media part of it where people care much less than 50 years ago about who they fucked once and much more about what society thinks of them.
Yep.
So with that number changing, this changed. I mean, this number had to have changed.
What's one more mistake to most people?
Yeah. You know, when I posed this hypothetical like 20 years ago, women were like, I'll know.
Right.
That's a thing. I don't care, right. Whatever. Now we've shifted to everyone's fucked everyone and social media is judging everyone. Yeah. And I'd rather just fucking take one for the team.
It's a sign of the times.
All right. We will take a quick break. Be back with many Rotten Tomatoes and other updates right after this.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. My name is Lon, 52, Indiana. I have three things that sound better than they actually are. Number one, urinal cake. Number two, gay bash. Number three, money pit. Always getting it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, gay bash sounds like it could be a big convention.
Yeah, it's like a New Year's Eve ball.
A party. That's true. Money pit sounds like you've discovered a pit of money in your home. But a urinal cake still has the word urinal in it, which would hurt almost anything that came afterward. Yeah, I always think I always have casualty of war and garnish your wages.
Oh,
you know
what
I thought of in the interim and since we did this last? Road rash.
Yeah.
Like road rash fucked up. It really hurts and it's going to be healing for weeks. But it's just road rash, yellow rash from the road.
Yeah, it is bad, but it's not something that sounds good and is bad.
Yeah,
it's a way of minimizing what is like one of the most anyone has gone down hard on a mountain bike or whatever.
I
anyone's really experienced road rash.
It's fucked up.
It's fucking miserable.
Speaking of road rash, what do kids call it if they even do it these days where you take someone's arm and twist it back and forth?
Well,
it was
called Indian burn.
It was always called Indian burn.
So I wonder what you call that now.
You know what the thing about kids is? They don't lay their hands on the kids anymore.
They call it felony assault.
Yeah, right. Hate crime.
My childhood could have been just called headlock. Like all we did was try to get each other in headlocks. Everything was about a headlock. There was no such thing as you turning your back to your friend and watching something without them coming up behind you in something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yours would have been called headlock. Mine would have been called off the top rope.
Right.
Because I announced every time I was on a stair, you know what I mean, or the bed, off the top rope, the double axe handle.
Yeah.
You could not wear trunks or shorts around my buddy Ray. They were coming down. And if you were standing in front of a group of girls, like my friend David was at lunch, he will come right up behind you, and they will go down, and they were not wearing underwear oftentimes, and or the boxers would get taken with the trunks.
That is
pure dick hang.
That's a
16-year-old girls just standing there.
That is a felony assault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when's the last time anyone got pantsed at school?
Pantsed. Big thing.
Wow.
Big thing.
Oh, and I remember when we were on a camping trip, like sixth grade, go to Wildwood camp or whatever. All the girls, it would be like, don't get in the shower. Because if the girls got in the shower, another girl would come over with her disposable camera and take pictures of you in the shower.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We pantsed the guy in my high school and burnt his shorts.
Jesus Christ.
In effigy?
I can't remember what it was in the name of, but we burned him on the gym field.
Wow.
We also, I mean, you know, there is a strength of 10 that, you know, the mother gets when the child is trapped under the station wagon. When my buddies Chris and Ray tried to drag me naked out of the street right when school let out and I lived across the street from the school, that was the power of 10.
Oh, boy.
And those
a mother with an SUV.
Those dudes are so strong and so big, and they tried so hard, and I would not let them.
You were more determined for it not
yes,
to happen.
Right. I was totally nude, and they were dragging me down my driveway and fought them, and I fought them in the nude. Man in the wild. Just fought them in
Roman.
My driveway. Yes, it was awesome. All right. Do we have – you want to play a little Rotten Tomatoes, Dawson?
The gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus 5.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
All right, so as you hear this, Adam has just returned from his yearly pilgrimage to Monterey, racing vintage cars in Monterey Historics. We'll hear all about how it went on tomorrow's show, but until then, take a look at some movies featuring racing.
Hold on. And first off, Michael Rappaport. Is it poor or port? Michael Rappaport?
I
heard the T too, but I don't think we did the T at the beginning of the show. But it's a T, right? What Woody Allen movie was he in?
Mighty Aphrodite. He was fucking the one Mira Sorvino.
Mira Sorvino.
Yes.
He was goddamn fantastic.
I was thinking about that. I was like, hey, he was in a great Woody Allen movie, and he was great in Mighty Aphrodite. But here's the film facts I'm hearing. True Romance, good. Higher Learning, okay. Metro, good. Copland, Deep Blue Sea, fine. The Sixth Day, Dr. Doolittle 2. Big fan and The Heat, but not
He is great in the
but
Heat.
The Woody Allen movie's not represented. Here.
Well, even in his top Wikipedia line, it doesn't mention that. It mentions those movies. And,
gee, I wonder why.
And I hear Dr. Doolittle. No, I mean, it mentions Dr. Doolittle 2 over. And I guess he really liked working on that movie too.
Oh,
so
good.
That was a talking point for you.
But
are you surprised that a Woody Allen movie isn't making the cut?
Not well. We got Metro and The Sixth Day and Dr. Doolittle 2.
I just mean Woody Allen.
Oh, I don't know. Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like if you've worked with Woody Allen as an actor, that's something you especially a good film, one of Woody's good ones.
Not
I
only
feel like
that,
something you get in that.
I'm looking at the list, and I think he's supporting role in all of these films. And he was the co-lead with Mira Sorvino in Mighty Aphrodite. Yeah.
Well, this is not, why we got to take a deeper dive.
Yeah, well, it's not in his first two paragraphs of his bio there. So,
Fix
that.
So okay. if you punch in Michael Rapaport movies into Google, it'll just send you to like IMDb or something.
Well, we'll do that too. But typically, when you search somebody on Wikipedia, they list their top credits at the at the very beginning, and so that's what we gave you.
Oversight, because typically they will. Wikipedia will say this is their most well-known movies.
Yeah.
Prominent roles or whatever.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to ask about Woody Allen.
Okay. It's a great movie.
All right. Here we go. Ian, Mira Savino.
All right. First up, based on the 1960s manga and anime series, I had to ask Ben what manga was, and then I had to call him a nerd.
Is that like octopus porn, or is that something else?
Like some comics that you read backwards.
Oh.
It's Japanese anime.
Remember, he said he'd switch at a 9.
Yeah, so he's obviously not to be trusted.
Ben, at some point you have to tell us what hentai is.
An 18-year-old automobile racer uncovers the secret of powerful moguls fixing races to boost their profits. He enters a cross-country race to bring them down, starring Emile Hirsch, Christina Ricci, Susan Sarandon, and Kenzie as Chim Chim the chimpanzee.
Oh, I thought we were talking about R8.
From 2008, Speed Racer.
Did we not do this one, or we just talked about it?
We definitely talked about it.
We talked about what a piece of shit it was. This goddamn Speed Racer, this could sum up my entire life. My entire life summed up in this film, which is Speed Racer, the TV show, was the only good thing about my childhood. I didn't have a basketball hoop. I didn't have a swimming pool. I didn't have a dog. All I had was Speed Racer. I memorized every episode. I could sing the theme song. I knew Pops, Racer, and Trixie, and Racer X, and Inspector Detector, and all the side characters. And I waited. I waited patiently for 40 years for them to make a film. And one day I heard they're making Speed Racer the film, and I went, oh, Excelsior.
And the Matrix brothers are doing it.
Yeah, it's going to be straight away. It was the most unwatchable piece of shit ever. The Land of the Lost was better.
Wow.
All right. This movie, it's the worst thing you can say.
What year was this?
2008.
The worst thing you can say about any art form is it was like off-putting. Mm. You know what I mean? Like I always would say that to people about comedy. You can be funny, unfunny, kind of funny, not so funny. You can't be confusing.
Right.
Like when people go, I don't know what he was – did you get what he was going for there? Like that's bad. This is like off-putting. It's not just, it was okay, but not good. It was
– it knew what it was.
Weird.
Yeah.
All right. They had to hate it, but – how much?
Was it innovative?
I think it was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
It was an unmitigated disaster.
All right.
I'm not even on high.
Are you guys in?
Yeah.
14.
18.
14.
Wow. Speed Racer is rotten at 41.
Oh, what?
I'm very surprised.
And people had it at 60. Wow.
Did I mention Adam and I have numeric dyslexia?
Yes.
A West Virginia family man teams up with his one-armed brother to steal money from the Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this movie.
Complications arise when a mix-up forces the crew to pull off the heist during a NASCAR race. Starring Channing Tatum, Adam Driver, and Daniel Craig from 2017, Logan Lucky.
Never heard of it, but I like
Never
the cast.
Never saw it.
It just came out. I mean, 2017.
Yeah.
You liked it.
I liked it a lot.
Never heard
but
of it.
But did the critics?
Or maybe.
Like it?
That's
didn't
a hell of
it.
A cast. I've never heard of this.
And this is also one of the lesser celebrated Steven Soderbergh movies.
Really?
Yeah, I know. I like this quite a bit.
I'm shocked that this is. Literally never heard the title before.
It is a Coen Brothers esque heist movie. It's like Ocean's 11 meets a Coen Brothers movie. Because they're all like West Virginia hicks. Sorry, West Virginia. If you guys can figure out how to work a phone.
Hmm. All right. Brian. Well, where's Brian? What's he doing to us, Gina?
You guys should
know.
See this.
What's he doing?
I don't know the score is astronomical, but I enjoyed it, and you guys
it's
should see
Steven
it.
Soderbergh. It's a really good cast. They are all stars at this point. It's not like, oh, this was before Channing Tatum was famous or Daniel Craig or Adam Driver.
How did this fly so beneath the radar then?
That's
a really
know.
Good question.
I don't remember a billboard.
Was there some sort of... So one of those things where it's like the weekend it came out, there was a school shooting or something, and all the news turned to, or some weird event that happened.
It says it came out in August.
Great bag to eat it. You know who was in this? Yeah. Small role. The aforementioned Hilary Swank.
Oh, interesting. Who's the girl? I can't tell.
I think that's Katie Holmes.
Yeah. Really?
She plays the estranged wife of Channing Tatum.
I have no idea. Was this a critical darling, especially because we never heard of it? Was it like an indie film? Or was it just bad?
Or maybe it's just one of those films where no one knew what it was, so they didn't see it.
It's kind of hard to market it.
Okay.
Hold on. I got to write something down.
I'm confused. I don't have to go here.
Okay. Okay.
Critics don't like car stuff sometimes.
I will tell you the cars don't play that much of a role in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're at a NASCAR event, but they're underground trying to steal all the money.
I went barely fresh at 63.
I went with my heart and said 78.
I also said 63.
What the? We just did the same number two times, twice. 14 and 63, yep. Two rando numbers?
Mm. Logan Lucky is certified fresh.
Good movie, you guys.
At 92%.
No! What?
I didn't know that.
No one's ever heard of this movie.
This is a really good movie.
The audience didn't think it was that great. 76.
Wow.
This is fucking weird,
watch
man.
This movie now.
You look at the poster, and we're looking at like sort of a dialed down Fast and Furious, yeah. The car, the stars, even the font.
Yes.
The movie's a little more quiet,
color
more
palette,
subtle, mm-hmm. A little more about family.
They went with a yellow race car, so it looks like a cab.
Yeah.
Sort of. It doesn't look like a race car that they're on the hood of. It's black color and black and white. You don't know what this is.
Was this like a film festival, darling?
I mean, it's got huge stars in
it. That's what I'm saying.
It's fairly mainstream.
Wow.
It has 300 reviews almost. It's probably released on 2,000 screens.
Now I got to see this. I'm curious.
It's fun. It's a good movie.
Yeah. Made $48.5 million in the box office. I guess it came out seventh.
That's not that much.
Where do you? Where would you find it streaming now? All right. Go ahead, Dawson.
In this reimagining of the 1959 Academy Award-winning film, we find a man stripped of his title and separated from his wife, and during years of slavery on a galley at sea, he enters a deadly chariot race to get the chance to exact revenge on the man who destroyed his life, starring Jack Houston, Rodrigo Santoro, and Morgan Freeman. From 2016, Ben-Hur.
Oh, that's right. They remade this.
I have no memory of these movies.
You can stream Logan Lucky on Hulu.
Hulu.
Or you can rent it.
There's now been so many movies made, and I've been around so long that I just have – I started off – when I was 20, you probably couldn't have named a movie that I hadn't heard of.
Sure.
Now I do not – I look at these posters and go, "Is this? Did they really do this? Yeah. And where was I when they did it, and how come I wasn't notified?"
There's TV shows. There's sitcoms on right now that get rave reviews that I've never heard of.
Yeah. All right. The original was a classic. Sometimes they punish those who try to reinvent the classics. I have no idea. Brian did or didn't see this?
I was vaguely aware of it.
Is this around the 300s and stuff like that?
This is well after
this
that. But
well
this is in
that.
The 3D craze. Everything had to be in 3D, real D.
And so we didn't hear of anyone, but Morgan Freeman was in it?
Mm-hmm. Rodrigo Santoro.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's the hot guy. Isn't he the hot guy from... I mean, I don't know either. No, from Sex and the City. He's the fucking gorgeous caramel-colored... muscular man.
Jesus, calm down, Brian.
See, the guy got
300.
The guy got nude in the shower at the beach.
I believe so. I think he was all 300.
What you guys are talking?
Didn't he play Xerxes?
Yeah, he was in 300. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was fucking okay.
It's a handsome fella.
Okay.
All right. I'm off the pace.
Same.
Gina, you're about in the neighborhood I am, since we've had the exact same numbers and we're on the same pace. I have no idea. I came in at 37.
Lower at 21.
49.
49?
I don't know.
Ben-Hur is rotten at 25.
God damn it.
Good game. Good game.
Yeah, I was thinking of going even lower, but I thought.
What did you say?
37.
No. I just want to point out that Logan Lucky made me cry.
Moving on. I did.
Really?
Moving on. Mm-hmm. All right.
While traveling to California to race in the Piston Cup Championship, race car Lightning McQueen ends up stranded in the rundown town of Radiator Springs. He learns a thing or two about friendship, family, and the things in life that are truly worth racing towards. starring Owen Wilson, Paul Newman, and Larry the Cable Guy from 2006, Cars.
The original Cars. Yeah. Blockbuster, I would think. There's a whole wing of Disneyland.
Best ride at Disneyland.
Yeah, that is awesome. Great Radiator film. Springs.
His Doc Hudson.
Newman,
who was named after the Hudson Hornet, I think the fabulous Hudson Hornet. It was an actual 1950-51 like race car. That car, they made a car. They obviously, it's just animated, but they took a Hudson Hornet. They painted it up like Doc Hudson. I think he signed it, and there's like pictures of him sitting in it and driving it around or something. I think it's going off at auction at Pebble Beach.
Wow.
I can't believe Disney doesn't have that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They it's weird, but that car is going off. All right. That was Newman's last film,
crazy.
I believe.
Crazy.
And look, everyone loved this one. And unfortunately for us, Gina, we're not really going to be able to make up in more than 3 points,
it's
if
beloved.
At all,
yeah.
Because unless...
Dead Nuts.
You can land at Dead Nuts. Right. So
okay. I was going to do that.
Go shut up.
This is a great film. It also kind of makes you like Larry the Cable Guy. Like you go, oh, that guy was so fun in this.
Tomater.
Yeah.
Tomater, that's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Another great ride at California Adventure.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's all about cars.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be just a miniature deduction for the cars part of it. 96.
Oh, shit. I may have let you back in the game. I went a little lower at 78.
Whoa, 91.
Mm.
Cars is certified fresh at 74%.
You motherfucker. You
wow.
Motherfucker.
I was terrified when you both were in the 90s. Like, what do they know?
Is it the cars? The fossil fuel burning, like as a glorifying racing, like this is the perfect film. Like I loved it, my kids loved it, whatever age they were when we saw it. Like it's just, I'm so surprised that this thing is in the lower 70s. Wow,
it doesn't have the pathos of Toy Story, so maybe they punish it a little for that.
I guess I'm always working the angle and
in 2006 though, would that have been an angle?
I don't know. I mean, this when did Inconvenient Truth come out? 7, 8?
Yeah, around there.
Around there. Yeah. The environmental thing's been a thing for a while. I don't know. I don't know if that chipped it down a little bit. People only have it at 79, which seems a little deflated as well. Inconvenient Truth, 06, same year.
Oh,
now, what month did it come out?
Brian, what did you say?
78.
Wow.
Because if you're a film critic and you saw Inconvenient Truth and then Cars, you might shave
influence.
A couple tens.
Wow.
Yeah. Doc Hudson, the Hudson Hornets doing the corkscrew hill climb in Monterey?
Yeah, that's the only thing I saw about it being going to Monterey. I haven't seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's at one of the auctions. I can't remember which one. But they're doing as you hear this, they did a cool thing at the Monterey.
Tell us every detail.
They're going backwards in the track and doing a hill climb up to the famous corkscrew.
In reverse?
In reverse. Yeah, well, reverse direction of the track. And it's a timed event, so they're going to unleash that this year. So that'll be interesting. All right, sorry. Go ahead, Dawson.
A Las Vegas casino tycoon pits 6 ordinary people against each other in a wild dash for $2 million jammed into a locker hundreds of miles away. The only rule in this race is that there are no rules. Starring Rowan Atkinson, John Cleese, and Whoopi Goldberg from 2001, Rat Race.
Brian, why would you have...
We know. How? I knew this one.
I've never heard of this either.
It made the rounds. It certainly popped
like
up
HBO
on cable
or?
A lot. And
is this supposed to be like Mad, 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 Mad
it's,
World?
It's basically a ripoff of Mad, Mad, Mad World. It's a lot of stunt casting and lots of vignettes. And it couldn't have been good. But, you know, where are we at? I mean, Brian's going to have to go with 100. We're going to have to get a Dead Nuts on at 21. And... and that's mathematically.
Do I have to write that down?
The only way we can do this. If you had any dignity at all, Brian, you'd go 100.
Interesting.
And let us battle it out, because it would put you 80 off, but who knows? It could be 39.
Yeah, exciting.
And I could go 21 and still be 20 off that.
Yeah.
That'd be brash. I'd take a big, big man, Brian. A big man.
Do you have the cojones?
Not at all, no.
Very, very big
man. Oftentimes, they'll put a movie in fifth spot in this game with a bit of a trickier score. You know what I'm saying? To kind of even the playing field a little bit.
How about...
Like, what if this ends up being 40? What
how about 80? How about you go for 80?
Yeah, that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
They call me Bald Brian for a reason.
We take a 7 and a 5, and we get a combined score. 80 would be bold.
But it would still be, it wouldn't be as offensive as 100.
You guys are making a lot of sense.
I don't know the number. Brian would have to figure out the number where he would lose if we got it dead nuts on.
Like Final Jeopardy
style. Under 30 or something
like
that.
Unfortunately.
All right. Well, like I said, if you had any spirit or gamesmanship, you'd go 80. But I'm... You guys in?
Yep.
Yeah.
I go 19.
Wow.
I don't think I can lose if I go 33.
when Adam throws out a number, you listen. 21.
Should have listened to Brian this time when he threw out a number. Rat Race is rotten at 45.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
See, like I said, this could have swung the game big time. So 150.
Hi.
Wow.
People had it at 64.
So, let's just say we're playing for second place here.
Oh, fuck.
Gina Grad, congratulations. You made the podium. Mm-hmm. And it is third place.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla, 116 for second place. Gina Grad, 121.
Oh, my God.
And that's it. That's all we need to know, right?
No,
good game, everybody.
The end of it. Good game, everybody.
We have a much lower number.
Oh, Brian got 57.
Heinz,
Brian, if you'd done 80, I think you still would have won.
Not be right.
I definitely.
My assignment to everyone in the sound of my voice is watch Logan Lucky.
Wow.
Logan Lucky.
I like that movie quite a bit.
It's reverberating. You're so serious.
That's right.
Michael Rappaport is going to join us. Guy's got a lot of energy. He's got a new pod out. So we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Rappaport right after this.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.